There's a lot of people who are confused about dying. What happens when you die? I was watching an interesting testimony about an old Vietnam War vet. When he was in Vietnam, he got shot down. He was driving a helicopter, and he got shot down, and he died. And he was a Christian, of course, but he said, my Christianity was, God, do this, and I'll do that. God, you do this, then I'll do that. That's what he said. I didn't enjoy my Christianity because I was always bargaining with God. And then he slipped out of his body. It's not like it's a horrifying thing, he said. It's just almost a peaceful transition. It becomes more and more exciting, and he spoke to the Lord. And the Lord said, here we don't bargain. Everything's for free. Hallelujah. And I want you to do something. You're going back, and you're going to live for me. Never mind all this bargaining you did all your life. You're going to live for me and enjoy it. And he said, I tried to bargain with God. No, I'm not going back. And he said, in a stern manner, you are going back. And he was like he was dead, and his partner had dragged him to a different helicopter, dead, and they revived him. And he said, it made a great change in my Christianity. Once I understood the attitude of God towards me, the problem with many Christians today is they don't know the attitude of God towards you. Once we're born again by the Spirit of God, He is a loving Father. He wants to rejoice in you. He does. He's not in the bargaining business. He knows what's best for you, and there are things you'll have to walk through so that you can learn things. If a mother and father would take their kid and let them do whatever they want, that kid would grow up to be a snowflake like we see down south so many of them are. Like whatever you want to do, do. Here's lots of money. You need to learn to be tough and work things out yourself. And with God at your side, man, you can do mighty things. He said, greater things will you do than I did. That's where that scripture fits in. Get to know who Jesus is. Take chances for him, and you'll find out that God really loves you. Anyways, the scripture about dying. How many of you are afraid of dying? I used to be terribly afraid of dying. Not about dying itself, but what comes after dying, once you leave this body. Because when you saw a dead person lying there, it looked pretty grim. He had turned gray. In the old days, they didn't take him to the doctor. They just put him on ice, and he or she turned gray as the days went on. They had kept them for a couple of days. And I always thought that must be a one heck of a place to be dead. I didn't understand it. But the Apostle Paul has a very interesting scripture in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 in verse 8. Could you put that up for me so all of us can see it? We are confident, I say, and willing, rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. So the second you step out of your body, you're going to be with Jesus. Isn't that awesome? There's no such a thing as going to sleep. I listen to those guys on the internet. You're going to sleep till Jesus wakes you up. No, you're not going to sleep, because your spiritual body doesn't need sleep. It's only your physical body that needs sleep. So once you're out of this body, you're going to be aware and in full control of your senses. You will see, hear, smell, feel everything around you in a much bigger proportion. And once we get this body at the resurrection of Jesus Christ, at the resurrection of the saints, then it's gonna quartuple. We're gonna have a much greater sense of being alive. Can you imagine your taste buds? Once Jesus puts them to where they should be, boy, for those of us who love to eat, it's going to be fun eating. For those of us who love to run, we're going to be running faster and smoother. For those of us who love to sing, can you imagine the song, the beauty of it? Well, God says, Paul says it's best to be present, absent from the body and present with the Lord. So how does it work? Before we get into this message, let's rise and ask the Lord for blessing. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your grace, for your word, Lord, that we can see and get the instructions that we need. Help us to understand, open our ears and hearts so that we can believe. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to read a few. I'm going to put them up in the King James. I think that's his program only takes that. But I will read to you from the Living Translation, which is basically word for word only. It's clearer of what happens to us once we die. If you want to call it dying, because it's basically a transition from this life into a much better life. People are here on this planet, let's say, for 100 years. Many, many go. By the time, you know, life is all done, there's some that die with 20 years of age. I had a friend who got killed in an accident. He was 20 years old, and I was 21 years old. Terrible, terrible shock to me, because we grew up together and we had this huge funeral. Many people came, and one of the elders of the colony came up to me after we buried him and said, "Mister, next time it could be your time." I wasn't that thrilled with that statement because I wasn't a Christian yet. I had no idea what happened to dead people. All I saw was a dead person, and he was a friend of mine, and I had the fivefold ministers ready if he would have said another word, but he walked away. So God wants us to understand, for those of us who know Jesus, dying is a privilege. Dying is something that's going to raise you beyond your imaginations of euphoria. Just unbelievable. It tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 1. For we know that when this earthly tent, this earthly body, which we live in, is taken down, that is, when we die and leave this earthly body, we will have a house in heaven and an eternal body made for us by God himself. So when we take this tent down, this coat, or this body, if you want to call it that, we're going to step out of it. It's like taking off a coat. And this one God makes. And it says, we grow weary in our present bodies. We long to put on our heavenly bodies like new clothing. For we will put on heavenly bodies. We will put on heavenly bodies. We will not be spirits without bodies. While we live in this earthly bodies, we groan and sigh. But it is not what we want to die, that we want to die and get rid of the bodies that clothe us, but rather we want to put on new bodies so that these dying bodies will be swallowed up in life. For those of us who have problems with sickness, disease, or some physical handicap. How many of you have ever seen that preacher who only has a head and a body, no legs, no arms, no nothing. He's full of the Holy Ghost, and he can jump this high with his little toe that he has. Man, he's another acrobatic. He's unimaginably mobile. But that guy, once he'll get a new body, it's going to be perfect. Remember when Jesus came out of the grave? Have you ever studied what he did? He would walk through walls. He could disappear and reappear. And one of the good things about him, he said, "Do you have something to eat?" And they give him food to eat. They saw it right in front of him. He would take that food and he started eating it. That's the body we're going to get. We'll be able to do whatever we can in this body. Plus, it'll be minus the aches and the pains, minus the forever thought, when am I going to die? Minus the forever thought, I hope I don't get into an accident. I hope I don't kill myself. That'll be gone. We're going to be at peace and at rest completely. It says God himself has prepared us for this. And as a guarantee, he has given us this Holy Spirit. So this is what we will get. It's a new body. It's going to be a transition. Can you imagine? I was thinking of this Vietnam guy that got shot down. And he killed people. He was on a bombing run. How many of those guys died that he killed and went to hell, where he went to heaven? It's unbelievable when you start thinking. There's only two places in eternity where you go. It's either to heaven or to hell. And how do you make the difference? It's by turning to Jesus for salvation. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 6 to 10. So we are always confident, even though we know that as long as we live in these bodies, we are not at home with the Lord. For we live by believing and not by seeing. Yes, we are fully confident and would rather be away from these earthly bodies, for then we will be at home with the Lord. So whether we are here in the body or away from this body, our goal is to please him. For we must all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. We will each receive whatever we deserve for the good and evil we do in this earthly body. So here is where the Christian gets to be judged. It's called the Bema Seat of Christ, the judgment seat of Christ. And this is where a lot of preachers confuse what this judgment will be. My sin judgment was taken from me at the cross of Calvary. Never again will I be judged for the sin I commit in this body. These are done away with and paid for by the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. But what about the way I serve God? The Bible teaches us there's going to be a Bema Seat of Christ. Once we leave this body, step into our other body, which will come at the resurrection, at the rapture, and then we will stand before God. I got a question here. How will God judge us? He will not judge us for our sin. So what is there to be judged for? It'll be how we are in service to God. Why did we serve God, if we served him at all? What did we do with the life after we became born again? Did we live a godly life, or did we live one foot in the world, one foot in the kingdom? God is going to judge that, and he is going to give you crowns, it says, for the ones who live for God, who give themselves as a sacrifice to this living God. It's going to be given to us as crowns. I don't know what those crowns are, but they're going to last for eternity. The body that we have is never going to die again, never going to be sick again, never will part from any of our loved ones again. It's going to go on forever. And we who get these crowns that God will give us are going to spend our eternity rejoicing in what God did for us. So it should give us an oomph to work for God and not for ourselves. This world is a fantasy world. You look at the movie stars, how they're trying to make themselves look pretty. Some of them have so much makeup on them, you don't know how, you'd need a pressure washer to get it off. But that's what they do, because these bodies that we have, they're slowly dying, they're slowly decaying. For those of you who are 70 years old, look in the mirror, you will notice that you're not as nice looking without your makeup as you were when you were 20. That's for a fact. God wants us to understand that we're slowly dying. And the day will come when we leave this body, because this body rusts from the inside out and sometimes from the outside in. Then we go on and get our new body. But here is what happens. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. All things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. So that's an interesting one. God shows us how to get into heaven. He shows us how to escape this life. Get away from this life, not physically, but spiritually. Get a new life. Become somebody else. Remember the Apostle Paul when he claimed that he wronged no man? That is true, he wronged no man. But when you really study his life, he would persecute the Christians and kill them, put them to death for following Jesus. But here he claims, I have wronged no man. Is he lying to us? No. Why not? It is because when he was doing that, his name wasn't Paul. His name was Saul. When he became a new creation in Christ, he received a new name. So all things have passed away, all things become new. Now, we who are new, we who have received the new name, the Bible teaches, he that overcomes, he will receive a new name, and I will make him a pillar in my Father's house. So now, we who have that new name, we who have become a new creation, we have the ministry of reconciliation. That means leading others to Christ. It's not talking about forming a religious organization. It's talking about preaching the gospel to every creature on the face of the earth. What do Christians do? It is interesting how many of them will implode. They will make and form a holy huddle so that they can watch out for themselves, maybe, especially when it comes to religious people. The Bible teaches us we're the salt of the earth. Have you ever seen salt in a salt shaker? I have, and it's absolutely useless. You have to use salt. You shake it out of the salt shaker onto your eggs or whatever you have, so it'll taste, make the food taste better. So the Christian has to go out. He has to preach the gospel wherever you are, in your job, at where, whatever you're doing, wherever God calls you to do, you are a witness for Christ himself, and he will use you. You don't have to wreck your brain. How will I somehow preach the gospel? Just be relaxed, be who you are, and God at the right time, at the right place, will pull the trigger and use you for a witness for himself. We have this ministry of reconciliation. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 19, for God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, no longer counting people's sins against them. I'll read it to you in the King James Version. It's up there. But here is how it says it in the New Living Testament. For God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, no longer counting people's sins against them, and he has given us the wonderful message of reconciliation. What's the message? Your sin don't count anymore if you turn to Christ. In the King James Version, it goes like this. To wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, not the church. It's the world it's talking about here. Not imputing their trespasses against them that have committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Not imputing. That means he does not bring those accusations against us. The King James Version, the Living Bible says, no longer counting people's sins against them. Is that good news? Think about it. All the sins you have committed, all the sins I have committed, they're no longer counted against us. Why? Why would God do that? Because he loves us, and he gave his only begotten Son, who took your sin and my sin upon himself, paid the price and the penalty for you and I, so that we don't have to pay for it. It is interesting when you study how God completely took care of the sin problem. The Bible teaches us in Adam all die, but in Christ Jesus all shall be made alive. Will all be made alive? No, only those that are in Christ Jesus. Only those that accept Jesus as their personal Savior. It is interesting when I watch these people singing on the internet, on YouTube, I sometimes wonder, they're standing there, religious people, and I kind of understand and know. They're singing about Jesus. And my question is, do they really sing? Do they really know what they're singing about? They're talking about the love of salvation. They've trained, they've taught on how to sing that song and how to make the words. Then I think of a bunch of frogs. When they sing, it sounds ever so beautiful. You ever seen heard frogs singing? They sound so beautiful in the summer. But when you start walking up to them and you look at them, and then you see the frog, it doesn't sound that nice anymore because a frog is ugly. So when a religious person sings those beautiful songs, those Christian songs, God still sees them as frogs. They need to be changed. They need to become a new creation. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 20. Now then, we are ambassadors of God for Christ, as though Christ did you beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be you reconciled. Be reconciled. Turn away from the things that you're doing, from the ways that you think you're going to get saved. Be reconciled to God, for he has made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. This is one of the best scripture found in the Word of God. The Bible teaches us, first of all, we are ambassadors. What's an ambassador? I tell you what my Father has to give you. That's an ambassador. I go out and tell people about the good deals I have for you. And those who are on the receiving end get part of those good deals. And this is the deal that Jesus, listen to this, Jesus took your sin that you committed yesterday, the sin that you're going to commit tomorrow, the sin that you're going to commit after 50 years down the road. It doesn't matter. He took that sin upon himself, paid for it on the cross. Was it easy to pay for that? He said, Lord, Father, if I could only escape this. Is there any other way? Not my will do, but thine will be done. In the flesh, he wanted to sidestep that awful, terrible sacrifice. But in the spirit, he said, I will do it. He did it for you and for me. And for those who accept that sacrifice, to them he will give the crown of life. The Bible teaches us the moment we accept what he did for us at the cross of Calvary, we instantly become a new creation in Christ Jesus. The Bible teaches us that we should repent, be converted, so that your sins will be washed away. I tried and tried and tried to repent of my sin. And guess what? It worked for a day or two. You try and it works, and then the next week or the next day, you're back into sin again. The Bible does not really say repent of your sin in that way. It says repent, be converted, then your sins will be washed away. What does it mean by repent? Repent, turn from the way you thought you were going to get saved. Turn from that. Turn to Jesus. Accept the sacrifice that he made for you at the cross of Calvary. Then your sins will be washed away. Hallelujah. After that, it's easy. You live for God. Yes, you will fall into sin, but you got an advocate with the Father who is interceding. All you have to do is say, Lord, forgive me, and it's gone. You don't even have to do that in most cases. Live a joyful, free life. Live for God, and the sin that follows you will eventually stop bugging you. I want to tell you something. Growing older is an advantage. I grew up as a Christian. I was 27 years old. I started living for God. Was it easy? It was in one way easy and in one way hard, because the addictions I had, the things that I have accumulated in my spirit, the bad things that I got used to doing, they slowly had to be ripped away from me. And as I grow older, it was becoming easier and easier. The pornography, you don't want to watch it anymore because you know and understand how it's made. It's made to destroy. The booze, the cigarettes, the drugs, whatever it is that you're addicted to, after a while, you'll notice if you fight that fight, these things will slip away. And Jesus comes closer and closer. And as you get older, you start getting more and more homesick because you're getting rid of the things that kept you from God. Hallelujah. The Bible, Corrie ten Boom said this, don't hold on so tight that God has to rip it from your fingers. Let the Lord open your heart to this. Let him show you. It's not a bargaining thing. Just live for Christ, and Christ will show you how to live for Him in joy and peace. So let the Lord open your heart to this and make you a blessing. Amen.
When justice called for a payment for sin, no one worthy could be found among men. But the precious Son of God, with the cross and thorny debt that I